This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Both men and women equally are created in the image of God. Both men and women are equally created in the image of God. And they're both equal in the eyes of God. God shows no partiality, not to a person, not to any group. Understand that. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, this is what Paul writes. He says, "There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus."
Submission is an important issue concerning marriage. Here is the plain biblical command. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Today, Pastor Eddie will be reminding you that submission is not weakness, but strength. Wives submit to their own husbands, and husbands submit to Jesus in reverence. Husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Both husbands and wives have a role of submission. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 as he begins his message, Submission in the Home.
Why should wives submit to their husbands? Well, number one, because God had ordained it that way from the very beginning. Now, before we go any further, because I know it's like when it comes to submission, oh, you don't know my husband. Now, this is important. This is for both husband and wife, what I'm about to talk about, because God was the one that ordained this from the beginning. If you have a problem with this, either way, you have a problem with God, okay? You have a problem with God. Now, submission, this is important. Submission has nothing to do with value. Has nothing to do with value. Nothing to do with value, but everything that has to do with order. God, the God of the Bible, the God that we serve is a God of order. And the structure in which God created and ordained the marriage is about order, not about value. And this is where the world comes in. This is where the flesh comes in. Because the flesh would say, well, no, you should be the leader. You should want, you're the smarter one. Or this is what, you know, you got to change. All that's old school. That's like ancient, you know, principles. And so, you know what? It's godly principle and it never fades. Heaven and earth will pass, but God's words never pass. And the wisdom of God never passes. It's everlasting. So this is where the world and the flesh comes in, the fleshly view, because everybody wants to be on the top. Everyone wants to be a worship. Everyone wants to be better than others. Everyone wants to be valued more than others. And so this is the flesh. And if that's in the heart, we need to check it, because there's a reason. Again, God will resist and humble the proud, but he would exalt and give grace to the humble. God has not ordained marriage. Husband and wife by value. He never did that. As to say that men are more valuable, more important than women. That is not the case. Because both men and women equally are created in the image of God. Both men and women are equally created in the image of God. And they're both equal in the eyes of God. God shows no partiality, not to a person, not to any group. Understand that. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, this is what Paul writes. He says, "There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." All one in Christ Jesus. And so it's not about value, it's about order. In fact, there's order even in the Godhead. Even in the Godhead, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, right? Do you know in the Trinity, in the Godhead, there is an order? There is an order. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul writes this, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman, man, and the head of Christ is who? God." Who's the head of Christ? God the Father. Does that mean that Christ is of less value than God the Father? No, nothing can be further from the truth. So who's the head of man? Christ. Who's the head of the woman? The man. Who's the head of God? I mean, Christ is God the Father. And so there is no one greater than the other. They're all one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. When Philip said, Jesus, we want to see the Father. And he said, Philip, haven't I been with you this long? Those who have seen me have seen the Father. They are one, identical in everything, in essence, and in their attributes. They're all identical. One is called Father, one is called Son, and one is called Spirit. They all have a different role, if you will. Okay, because when Jesus came here to minister in his during his earthly ministry, what did he say? I said, the Father has sent me, and I testify of the Father. Jesus always said, I testify of the Father while he was here on earth. But when Jesus died on the cross and he went to heaven, before he went to heaven, he said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. He will testify of me. He would not testify of himself. And so when Jesus went to heaven, who's now testifying of Jesus? The Holy Spirit. You see, it's not about value. It's about order. And so the flesh and the world, you know, we need to really kind of filter our mind and get all the things that we have learned and all the, you know, it's amazing how they put this in commercial and movies. I never saw a guy in a commercial doing dishes. That doesn't mean it's beneath them, okay? But now they have male, you know, doing the laundry and doing the clothes, you know, and you know, the woman is now the boss. That's not biblical. It's not biblical. And I know there's this movement, but that's not the way God ordained it. But it's not to say that one is greater than the other. And so we, as believers in Christ, we need to be obedient to the word of God and see how God sees this. Okay, now I want you to understand this. Let's look at verse 11, verse 3 again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, but I want you to know this, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man. Now listen, this is important for wives. If you place yourself above your husband, what you're doing is you're taking the place of Christ. What does it say here in the Bible? Who's the head of Christ? Who's the head of every man? Christ. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to go a little old school Pentecostal from South Bronx, okay? I'm going to say this. But wives, if you're above your husband, what you have is not a husband, you have a son. And that is a fact. That is a bill. That's not the way God ordained. That's not the order that God had ordained. Don't worry, I'm going to get to the guys. Don't worry. So I know there's a lot of elbow ministry here, but what is it going to be? It's going to turn around the other way. But who's the head of every man? Christ. Wives, submit to your husband. Because that order that God had ordained, I mean, they're equal in value. It has nothing with smarts, intelligence, spiritual, one spiritual more than the other. They're equal. Okay, but God has placed the man the head of household. So who did God create first? Eve? Adam. Adam. Because it's order. And we see that same order in the Trinity. And it's important. It's important. And if that order is reversed, what you have is disorder. Disorder. That's why there are problems in marriages. That's why marriages end up in divorce. Nobody knows their role and not responsible for what they're supposed to do in the marriage. They're switching. They're changing things because the world tells you. Because the world is souping you up and telling you, oh, you shouldn't be like that. No, you should be the boss. And that's where you have the problem. We're wired differently. Men and women are wired differently. I don't know if you know that. Judy has no problem doing things in the house because she does it best. And she doesn't get mad at me because I don't know how to, you know, vacuum right, even though I do. I don't know how to do the dishes, even though I could. Or I do the laundry. And she don't get mad at me because I don't do it. Because in the same way, I don't get mad at her because she doesn't plow the driveway. I don't get mad at her because she doesn't do, oh, how come you can't change the shingle of the roof? You know? I don't get mad at her because I know my role. I know my role. Because men, listen, this is crazy. This is demonic, and it is craziness why you have men competing in women's sports. Lo and behold, who won? The guy with the deep voice and the biceps and the tri, yeah, he's going to win. He's going to win because that's not the way genetically, biologically, God designed and created. And in the same way, it shouldn't be in the home. Let the world deal with that craziness and let them argue about it if they want to. But you know, God created who you are, and you be who God has created you to be. And you know, you should love the way God created you because that's the way he created you. And so if that order in the marriage, going back to the marriage, is out of order, what you have is disorder. That's what happened in the garden. That's what happened in the garden. Adam should have been a covering for his wife. And what did the Lord says is that her desire would be for her husband. That desire is to be over him. That started in the garden. And God said, no. It's the way God designed it. And so that's one good reason. Here's another good reason why you should submit to your husband. Not only, you know, because the word of God, that's the way God designed it. God does things perfect. It's not outdated. But look at verse 1 again. He says, wives, boy, we're moving really fast. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. So, you know, wives who husbands are not saved, here's what he's saying. And though they may not believe in Christ, though they may not believe in the word of God, your conduct of being submissive, a loving wife, God will use to win them to Christ, you see. Don't expect them to come to Christ when you're one person here and a different person at home. Oh, my husband will come to church. Well, why? Well, he complains I nag at him. He complains that I curse or whatever. Well, yeah, that's not the way you win people to Christ, by the way. By the conduct of your life. So your conduct, the Lord will use to win your husband to Christ, because you're the Bible that they're reading. They're going to see the fruit of what you believe in. Ultimately, let your life be a reflection of who Christ is. And so he's saying, hey, submissive. But not only that, because it's biblical, and because the way we're designed, because that's the way God wanted it, but also there's benefits for wives who have husbands who are not following the Lord. Now let's read verse 1 into verse 2 so we get the context here. Verse 1 into verse 2, it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Verse 2, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Now the word chaste here is the Greek word hagnos, and it means sacred, it means pure. That they may observe your pure conduct is what he's saying. It's pure, it's genuine, it's real. You go to the Bible study, you go to fellowship, you worship God, you know, that kind of glory that you received in church should be taken home. And it should be pure, it should be a pure conduct. And he said, not accompanied by fear. This is not speaking of a terrifying fear, but it's talking about a healthy fear, a reverence of respect. When we get to verse 7, we're going to look at there's an unhealthy fear, and that's for you guys, so we'll deal with that. But anyhow, wives, if you truly love the Lord, if you truly are a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ, and if you truly love your husbands, you submit and respect them. Now, he's going to tell you where this beauty comes from. Let's look at verse 3. In verse 3, he says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. And so, let's look at this word. The word adornment is the Greek word kosmos. When we get the English word kosmos, right? It's a harmonious arrangement, ornament, decoration, and as the same word we use as the cosmos. And when we think about the arrangement of the stars or the heavenly hosts that God has placed in the skies, and we sang that in the song, you place the stars in the skies and you know them by name, and we look up in the skies at night, it's beautiful. And it's beautiful, but it's also where we get the word cosmetics. Oh, I got your lady's attention now. I lost you with the submission, but I got you back from cosmetic. And it's the same way we get from cosmetic. And so, you know, he's saying, you know, the adornment. And why this? Now, I read in one of the commentaries by James Vernon McGee, he said, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Not saying that you ladies are barns, but I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with putting on makeup. There's nothing wrong. Do it. You know, do it. Go for it. You know, but, you know, that's not what he's saying here. That's not the important part, ladies. Wives, that's not the important thing. Don't let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Why? Why? Because your husband's been waiting for over an hour in the car for you. No, just kidding, just kidding. Verse 3, let's read verse 3 into 4. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but, verse 4, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That's awesome. That's powerful. Out of all the verses, I just love that. That's like so poetic. You could write a song out of this. If you write a song, I get credit. But anyway, adornment, it's talking about unfailing beauty. Unfailing, uncorruptible. Now we know. I mean, I look in the mirror every day. Okay, I'm in my 50s. I should have said, no, that would be a lie. I'm in my 50s. And we know the beauty fades away. Some of us more quicker than others. Husbands and wives, it really doesn't matter. But one thing that doesn't fade is what's inside. Is what's inside. And I tell you, lady, listen, the reality is, yet men are visual. We always look at the outward appearance. But let me tell you, what stands out and lasts long and is more powerful is the inner beauty. The inner beauty that never fades away. Because I'm going to tell you this, believe it or not, men would not tell you this because it kind of, you know, it's like a hallmark situation. But the reality is, men love women who respect them, honor them, and submit to them. That is something beautiful about that. It's a turnoff when you have a boss. You know, it's a turnoff. That's not attractive. And so don't concern yourself with the outward. Ladies, here's where it is. It's on the inside. Now, I think at the end of verse 4 should be a motive for us, ladies. Not for me, us. Now, I'm thinking for you, ladies. Let me change that for you, ladies, wives. He said, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. It is precious in the sight of God. We always think about, oh, God bless me. I want this. But how about you blessing the Lord? Being obedient to the word and just say, you know what? I want to be precious today. Honey, how many eggs do you want? You know? Very precious in the eyes of God. Your inward beauty is not just precious, but it's very precious. You know, because God, you know, we look at the outward appearance. We always judge people by how they look, what they wear, what they say. But God doesn't. And that's biblical. This is what the Lord said to Samuel, the prophet. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. He said this, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God looks at the heart always. And if you want to look at people the way God looks at people, don't look at the outward appearance. Don't look at the outward appearance. Look at to see whether they need Jesus or if they do have Jesus, you encourage one another. Very simple. I always pray, Lord, I want to see people the way you see them. I want to see people the way you see them. Because if they need help, I want to minister to them. If they need Jesus, I want to share the gospel. They need encouragement. Now, I can't do it for everybody. But those that come my way. So listen, outward beauty, this is important because Peter is not going to give the example here. The inward beauty of a submissive wife, listen, ladies, the inward beauty of a submissive wife is an ancient old cosmetic formula. Ancient old cosmetic formula. Read verses 5 and 6. He says, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trust in God also adorned themselves. How did they adorn themselves? Being submissive to their own husbands. And now he's going to give us an example. Look at verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Ladies, when you get home, not just kidding. You're not to call your husband Lord. The Lord here is not worshiping as we call the Lord, Lord God, but it's in our vernacular, we say, sir. It's out of respect. Okay? Now, if you remember, here Peter is pointing to a time where Sarah was eavesdropping. Remember the Lord told Abraham, and he says, Sarah, you're going to have a child. They're like in their 90. He's 90. She's 90. He's 100 years old. And, you know, she's thinking that, you know, my husband, he can't find the remote, let alone be a father. And so this is what he says. This is what happens. He's quoting at this time. The angel of the Lord, which is Christ himself, is a Christophany. He comes to Abraham, and he's talking to Abraham while Sarah is in a tent, and she's listening in, right? And so the Lord said to Abraham, he said, behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. But this is what's so important to show how holy and godly this woman is. Even though she's eavesdropping, that's wrong. Even though she laughed, that's wrong. But look at what happened. This is Peter's trying to prove a point here. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 12, this is what he says. It says, therefore, when Sarah heard this, Sarah laughed. That's where they get the name Isaac. Isaac means laughter. That's why they named Isaac Isaac. So she laughed. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being also old? You know, this is amazing because she called him Lord, not to his face. She said it from within. She had the serious, genuine attitude. Because sometimes we show things, we do things outwardly just for show because we feel obligated. But here, he's pointing to the fact that she had a respect for him, a sincere, genuine respect for him because she called him Lord secretly within. It was genuine. So let's look at verse 6 again. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are if you do good. So he's talking to wives. You know, she set the example of a wife. So she's talking to all you wives that you become like a daughter of Sarah, following after her footsteps. Remember, this has to be handed down from generation to generation. This principle of submission to our children and children's children. So you are the daughters of Sarah when you do what is right without terror. And while we're dealing with terror, that's what it means. No woman should be terrified of her husband. No woman should be terrified of a husband. And sadly, there are wives that have an unhealthy fear of their husband. There's a good fear of respect, but not an unhealthy fear. And I see this in a lot of marriages. As a matter of fact, I've seen this with my parents. My mother had an unhealthy fear of my father. And my father was abusive. And I've witnessed this. And I'm not disrespectful. I honored my father to his death. But one thing, my mother was walking not only an eggshell, she feared every time he came through the door from work. That is not what I wanted. And I observed it. And I said, I'm not going to have that with my wife. That's not going to happen in my house. I want my wife to be free. I don't want her to be in terror, walking in eggshells because I'm in the house. That's her house. I'm running.
You've just been listening to a great teaching with Pastor Eddie on running the race. I can just imagine the conversation between the Christians and Peter being something similar to an "Are you kidding me?" moment. And understandably so. These people were facing unfair hardships under an oppressive ruler. But Peter was encouraging them to buckle up and bear it, because people were watching. Some of their retorts to Peter could have been something like, "I should do what? And did you just see how Nero treated my friend?" For them and us, living a changed life is not repaying evil for evil. It's allowing God to work. This is the way to show others God's love. Setting aside what you want to do and picking up the way Jesus will have more impact than you'll ever know. Think about your reaction when a wrong is done to you. Are you portraying an accurate picture of Jesus? We hope this message encourages and challenges your heart and feet to action. Now, here's Jessica with an invitation just for you. Jessica?
We'd love to have you come join us at Calvary Chapel of Milford. We're conveniently located off Interstate 84 and Route 6. For service times and all the information you need, visit runningtheraceradio.com and click on the Back to Homepage button. While you're there, you can listen to this teaching again or explore more messages from Pastor Eddie. Again, that website is runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica, and thank you for listening today. Be sure to come back for more on Running the Race.